السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, and our mothers and sisters who may be listening or streaming, in this verse of the Quran Sharif which we've recited in the introduction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares, announces, makes it known to us. We know that the Quran Majeed is a book of guidance. And this guidance is the word of Allah, the word of our Creator, which is our instruction manual in order for us to achieve our goals and to succeed. Allah Ta'ala mentions, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that in the noble being of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have an exemplary, an excellent example. You have a wonderful model. You find that in this world, we always look for examples. We look for models. We look for samples. The person in the business field, he wants to open up a shop. He looks at another shop of the similar, stocking the similar goods. And then he uses that as a model. The person wants to manufacture some item. He sometimes even purchases another item and looks at how it was made. The person wants to install cupboards in his home. He looks somewhere else at how they did the cupboards, and he takes ideas. He uses it as an example, as a model. Allah Ta'ala says, you have a model in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the manner in which the Nabi of Allah conducted himself, his personal life, his spiritual life, his relationship with his Creator, his relationship with his relatives, his relationship with his neighbors, his relationship with the family members, his relationship with the non-believers and non-Muslims. All of this, there is an example, there is lesson that can be learned. But in this verse, Allah Ta'ala mentions that who is the individual who really will take an example, will take a lesson? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For that person who has got conviction, he has got firm resolution, he knows very well that he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that there is a day of judgment. There is a day in which he will be judged. There was one, on this word judge, there was one judge who came to our late Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He said, give me some advice. The Maulana told him that remember that for every judgment that you judge, there will be a day of judgment in you in which you will be judged on that judgment that you make. So we have got conviction. The person who has got conviction that there is a day of judgment, there is a day of accountability, where you will be questioned for every single thing that you've done, for every single decision you've made, whether it's a good decision, bad decision, you will be questioned. There will be a day of judgment. A person who's done a good deed, he will be rewarded. a person who has violated the rights of someone, then justice will be meted out. And the person will have to fulfill that responsibility. So the day of judgment, the person has got conviction that there is a day of judgment. I will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And that person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly, is constantly in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. And remember, to be constantly in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala doesn't mean you have to have a tasbih in the hand. It doesn't mean that the person has to be sitting in the masjid. The person can be lying on his bed and he can be remembering Allah ta'ala. Allah speaks about this in the Quran Sharif. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِ. Allah ta'ala says, who are the intelligent ones? Ulul albab. Who are the intelligent ones? The intelligent ones are those people, الَّذِينَ, who remember Allah ta'ala, يَذْكُرُونَ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ. They remember Allah ta'ala قِيَامًا, whilst they are standing. وَقُعُودًا, whilst they are sitting. وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. And even when they are lying on their beds, they are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person is constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. And on the contrary, you can find another person who is sitting in the masjid. He is sitting in the masjid, but his mind is not on Allah ta'ala. He is thinking about something else. His mind is elsewhere. It happens to all of us. Sometimes the person has got some very important matter. He's at work, he's doing that work, but his mind is on that important matter. There's some court case or there's some major issue that took place, and Allah protect, there's some domestic issues. The person is at work, but his mind is not there. His mind is not even in his work. So it can happen that a person is in the masjid, the place where we are supposed to remember Allah ta'ala. The masjid is a place of the dhikr of Allah. But the person can be in the masjid, but he's not remembering Allah ta'ala. And yet, a person can be out of the masjid, but he can still be in the remembrance of Allah. Here we're speaking about the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. We're not speaking about performing salah with jamaat and without jamaat. So the person is out of the masjid, he's in his business, but he's remembering Allah ta'ala. And this was a quality of the sahaba ikram, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even when they were doing business, they were in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. They never became heedless of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions and praises the sahaba ikram, rijal. That who were the sahaba ikram? They were men. Men in the true sense of the word. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. The men, the sahaba ikram, were real men. لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That neither did they trade, nor they buying and selling. It didn't cause them to become heedless. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dhikrillah wa iqam as-salah, and the establishing of salah, wa ita'i zakah, the discharging of the zakah. Yakhafuna yawma. They feared a day, meaning the day of judgment. They feared the day of judgment. Yawman tataqallabu fihi al-qulubu wal-absar. That day in which hearts would have been turned upside down, eyes would be rolling in fear. So they were fearful of that day, that we should not engage in any action or activity that will cause us to be in a very compromised situation, a compromised position on the day of judgment. They had that concern, they had that fear, and that fear and that concern caused them to conduct their lives in a manner which was conforming to the obedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the development of that fear is such an important thing. And here again Allah ta'ala speaks about those people who will take lesson from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. That person who fears the day of judgment, he fears standing before Allah ta'ala. And of course this fear is not like the fear of how a person fears a lion or some kind of a thief or robber. This is fear that is born out of love. There is also a fear that is born out of love. A person loves someone and he doesn't want to do something. He's fearful that I must not do something that upsets my beloved. So there is a fear. But this fear is that I do not want to destroy the relationship of love that I have with my beloved. And that is the fear that a true believer has. A true ashiq of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his fear is born out of love. That I have a relationship with my Allah. That Allah has granted me my eyesight. That Allah has created me. That Allah is the one who has taken me out of so many situations and problems. That Allah is the one who protects me. Whenever I raised my hands and called unto Allah, Allah answered my prayer. Allah answered my dua. So Allah Ta'ala answered my prayer. Allah Ta'ala answered my dua. So a person is fearful that he must not break that relationship of ma'abba and that relationship of love. So the Sahaba-i-Kiram, they had great love for Allah Ta'ala. And they were concerned that on the day of Qiyamah, when my Allah calls me and asks me that I granted you these bounties, why did you use this bounty in this manner, violating my commands? How will I answer my Allah? A person has got someone who is kind to him. He's got an employer who is very, very kind to him. Every now and again the employer gives him some, you know, additional money. He needs some leave. The employer says, no problem, go, by all means. He needs a loan. He goes to his boss. He goes to his employer. His boss says, no problem, I'm giving you the loan. He's got a kind, caring, loving boss, an employer. So now he is concerned that, you know, this work that I've got, I need to make sure I do it well. The boss asks him, you know, I've got this extra work to do. Are you available? He says, no, definitely, I'll do it. He wants to go that extra mile to please his employer, because he says to himself that this employer has been very kind to me. He's been very caring to me. He's always there for me when I need him. In the same way, that person who really understands who Allah Ta'ala is, and he really recognizes the kindness of Allah Ta'ala upon him, he really recognizes the bounties of Allah Ta'ala upon him, and he is concerned that I should not do any action that will bring about the displeasure of such a kind, such a caring, such a loving, such a merciful Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that in the Nabi of Allah you have got an excellent example. You've got a wonderful example. And for who is the person who will take the example from the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That person who is constantly remembering Allah Ta'ala, that person who has got fikr and concern about the Day of Judgment, and about meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how should I be conducting myself in a manner that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best example for me is the example of my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he had conducted himself in such a manner that pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inevitably I will also become a recipient of the happiness of Allah. That is why Urdu they say, and I will translate it for those who don't understand. He says, Naqshe qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, Naqshe qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. Meaning that in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the pathway of Jannah. If a person follows the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he follows the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he is actually getting himself onto the road that is going to Jannah. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. And in following what we term as the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the highway, and this is the pathway that will link one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that the person will get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person will become a recipient of this. So therefore, we should all make an effort to develop these qualities. We know now, mashallah, we are in the month of Muharram. As Muslims, we also have our own Islamic identity. We identify ourselves as followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We identify ourselves as followers of Islam. And therefore, we also have our calendar, our new Islamic calendar. I mentioned this in the other venues where we had Jum'ah also, that as Muslims, we don't really celebrate birthdays. Study the history of Islam and you will find that the Sahaba Ikram didn't celebrate their birthdays. You won't find an incident where Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gathered all the children and they all celebrated one birthday or celebrated the birthday of one Sahabi or celebrated the birthday of some Nabi. They didn't celebrate days. What they did celebrate was actions. The deen of Islam is a deen of ibadah, a deen of amal, a deen of action. We celebrate the actions of people. Look at Qurbani, for example. In Qurbani, we are slaughtering the animal. We are celebrating the action of Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. When a person goes for Hajj, he pelts the Jamarat, he stones the Jamarat. He celebrates the action of Ismail and Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. So we are a religion that celebrates actions. We don't celebrate days. Imagine if we had to start celebrating days. Where will we start? Where will we stop? Because then we'll have to start from Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam was a great Nabi of Allah. He had a wonderful, a great roster of events in his life. So many events that took place in the life of Adam ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. We'll have to start from there. Then we'll have to move on to Nuh alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Yunus alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we can't stop there. How can we forget our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can anyone say that there is any day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life that's not worthy of celebration? Can we say that, you know, there is a certain day in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're leaving this day out. We're not going to celebrate this day. In fact, we can say that every single second of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is worthy of celebration. And then we can't stop there. Because Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, he was Siddiq. He was the first one to accept Islam. He was the support of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His life is worthy of celebration. The life of Umar radiallahu anhu is worthy of celebration. The life of Uthman radiallahu anhu is worthy of celebration. The life of Ali radiallahu anhu is worthy of celebration. If we have to go down this road, we'll become an ummah of celebrations. Whole day will be celebrated. Whole year will be celebrated. So we are not an ummah of celebrations and, you know, festivals. We are an ummah that celebrates actions. An ummah that celebrates ibadat, acts of worship. That is what we commemorate and celebrate. Hence you find that the Hijri calendar was not commenced upon the birth of Rasulullah. Neither was it commenced upon the demise of Rasulullah. The Sahaba Ikram took a decision that this Hijri calendar will commence upon the Hijrah, the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi migrated from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara, we will pin the calendar based on the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To teach the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam a very important lesson. That can you see your Rasul, your Nabi, what kind of sacrifices he made in order for this deen to be alive. That he left his hometown, he left his home city, he sacrificed all of that in order to protect his religion. He grew up in Makkatul Mukarrama. His heart was attached to Makkatul Mukarrama. In fact, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was migrating from Makkatul Mukarrama, he turned and with great emotion addressed Makkah. And he said, "Oh Makkah, we love you very dearly. Oh Makkah, we love you very dearly. And had it not been for your people, we would never have left you. We are now forced to leave." So there was a great sacrifice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to make in order for Islam to remain alive. And the Sahaba Ikram wanted the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to learn this lesson of sacrifice. That if you want to protect your religion, if you want to protect the religion of your children, there are sacrifices that you have to make within yourself. There are internal sacrifices that you have to make. Your own ego will pull you in a certain direction. Who doesn't want freedom? Everybody speaks about they were freedom fighters. Everybody only wants freedom. And yes, if our rights are violated, then we have to fight back for our rights. But the reality is that no one can say that they have total freedom. Because if you have to live a life of total freedom, that will lead to chaos. Can you imagine the person says, I'm running a business. The day I feel like opening the business, I'll open my business. The day I don't feel like opening my business, I won't open my business. On one day I'll open my business at midnight. One month I'll pay my staff, the next month I won't pay my staff. I'll run my business how I feel like running. What will happen to his business? There'll be absolute chaos. That person will run his business with certain boundaries. I agree to pay my staff so much. I agree to open my shop at this time and close at this time. He has regulated himself. He's regulated his business. We all have to live with certain limitations and boundaries. For us as Muslims, the only way we can have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is if we confine and restrict ourselves within the boundaries of the Sharia of Islam. That has this action that I am going to do, is Allah pleased with it or not? Will it invite the pleasure of Allah ta'ala or will it invite the displeasure of Allah ta'ala? If it is going to invite the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to spell disaster in my life. This relationship that I have, if I will engage in this relationship, will it invite the pleasure of Allah ta'ala or will it invite the displeasure of Allah ta'ala? If it invites the pleasure of Allah, then there will be great happiness in this relationship. And in this way, if we can look at every single activity of ours and ask ourselves a serious question, do a self-assessment, don't wait for anyone else. In this month, in this Muharram, we learn about the sacrifice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then inshallah, on Tuesday will be what we term as Yawmul Ashura, the day of Ashura. It is a very significant day. There are many, many significant events that took place on this day. Some of them are mentioned in the history books. We do not know the authenticity of them. But one particular incident that is mentioned, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam previous to Ramadan, this day of Ashura, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was compulsory to fast on the day of Ashura. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who fasts on the day of Ashura, then it will wipe away the sins of the entire year. So there are great benefits in fasting on the day of Ashura. However, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised the Ummah to fast on 2 days. In other words, either fast on the 9th and 10th of Muharram, or fast on the 10th and the 11th of Muharram. Some ulama state that a person can fast all 3 days also, 9th, 10th and 11th. And the reason for this, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Madinatul Munawwara, he saw that the Jews were also fasting on this day. And he inquired from them, why are you fasting? They said it was on this day that Allah Ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel from the clutches of Fir'aun. Allah Ta'ala granted them salvation and drowned Fir'aun on this day. To commemorate this day, and in thanks to Allah, we are fasting on this day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the comment that we are closer to Musa alayhi salam than what the Jews are. And therefore, we will fast an additional day. We will show a differentiation between our deen and the deen of the Jews. And hence Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted an additional day. Again, the lesson, we don't have the time, but the lesson we learn from this is that we as Muslims should maintain our unique identity. Our unique identity, and ensure that our ways are different from the ways, especially in our ibadat and our deen. Especially in our ibadat, in our deen. Otherwise some people will go to the extreme that a person mustn't even drive the cars that they drive. We cannot function in that manner. So in our deen, make sure that we are not emulating the way of the disbelievers, the way of the kuffar. Allah Ta'ala has given us a beautiful deen, a pure deen. And hence you find a person in the nikah, for example. In our marriages, a marriage is an act of ibadah. And you find that people are mixing up their ibadat with the ways and the customs of the disbelievers. Now the person wants to bring Hindu customs into his marriage. A person wants to bring Christian customs into his marriage. And the person has got now certain customs and actions and activities that are being done during that marriage ceremony that are not Islamic at all. It is now a custom. And they're doing it on a certain day, so we all have to do it. Why are we doing it? They have a certain day for this, and a certain day for that, and a certain day for this. Where have you come up with this? And if you look at the history, you'll see it was a Hindu custom and it was brought into our community. So we have to identify ourselves as Muslims and understand that Allah Ta'ala has given us a wonderful, pure deen the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Time has expired. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us one word of advice also. That on this day of Ashura, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who will be generous to his family on this particular day, then Allah ta'ala will grant him blessings in his sustenance for the balance of the year. Therefore, on the day of Ashura, a person should spend a little extra, especially in terms of food, buy a little extra food on the table, you know, feed the family a little extra, without going into any extravagance. A person now doesn't have to take a loan and do these kind of things. But within a person's meal, whatever it is, the person normally spends 10 rand a day on a meal, on that day he spends 15 rand. Alhamdulillah, for him, inshallah, Allah ta'ala will reward him. So whatever a person's budget is, within his capacity, give a little extra on the day of Ashura, Allah ta'ala will give you barakat in your sustenance for the balance of the year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and restore the dignity of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.